I wanted to talk to you about a few issues today that we're working on, and in particular ones that we would like your help on. And I'm going to start out with voting rights as the first issue, and the need to have a really super high Native vote turnout this year in the election. We are working on the federal level on a amendment to a bill that's just been recently introduced, which is an attempt to modernize the 1964 Voting Rights Act bill. Many of you might have heard over the last 12 months or 18 months or so, the U.S. Supreme Court took a case called Shelby County versus Holder, who is the Attorney General, and struck down a key provision of the voting right that required the preclearance of changes to the voting structure. And Alaska, for years, has been covered under the voting rights preclearance, primarily because of our history of discrimination and barriers put in place to Alaska Natives for voting. Many of you know we're the last Indigenous people in the United States to get the right to vote. As late as 1971, we had an amendment to the state constitution that took out the provision you had to be able to read and write English in order to vote. I mean, that's recent history in our times on that. And so we were always covered under that automatic provision of the voting rights, just extra protection on the federal level to make sure that we weren't disenfranchised and state government and local entities didn't put barriers in the way to try to depress the Native vote and make it really difficult. Well, over the last few years, we've seen increasing efforts to try to really depress people voting as people try to angle for this campaign or that campaign. And so from our vantage point, it's critically important that we make sure that we have that rock solid foundation protection of our voting rights. And so the first thing I'm going to be asking you to do, especially with Grand Camp, President be here, but the Grand Camp and the Sisterhood on that, we really need you to take on this voting rights as your number one issue. You have the history in our Native community on helping leading us to getting us to the right to vote on that, and we need your outspoken stuff. We need letters, opinion pieces. We need the full weight of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood to come out in regard to these changes to the Voting Rights Act on that. And so we'll be glad to send copies of sample letters and things as this goes forward on that, but you could play a very critical role. And what's so important, why the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood need to step up at this time, is we're dealing with a whole coalition of human and civil rights groups all across the country, everything from NAACP to Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, the Asian American Association, the Mexican American Legal Defense, every major groups. Their large advocacy groups are involved in this thing, in this major, major coalition. At this time, we're not included in that amendment. In fact, Native Americans get no protections under the formula that they use, and we calculate it would probably cost us $800,000 to file lawsuits enough to trigger for us to be considered under that federal mechanism just because of the high cost of bringing voting rights lawsuits and in order to trigger this formula. So that clearly is not going to work for us to have to spend that magnitude of money to get protections that we had before the Supreme Court case. So we need to get this an amendment, and we need the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood to step up. And you know, when it's time for testimony and putting letters in on that, you'd carry an awful lot of historical weight and really support all our efforts. So that's my first thing I wanted to raise with you on the voting rights. At this point where it's at is there's a bill introduced in the Senate. There's one sponsor, Senator Patrick Leahy, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and there's one bill sponsored on the House side. They're hoping to fast-track and get it to the president by August, which I think is really, really optimistic given how the Congress is kind of very difficult to do things. The one good thing we have in our favor in moving to do these amendments is we have the support of both Senator Begich and Senator Murkowski strongly standing up for making sure that there's no barriers in our participation, but that we get the protections on that. So we're very fortunate to have our delegation on our side and pushing forward. But getting included in the legislation is the first step. Getting that law enacted into law is going to be another one. And like I said, so I'm very pleased to report that to you and really call out and say we really need your help on this one. So Another issue that we're working on that there's actually a hearing today in the Senate Indian Affairs Committee is that Federal Indian Law and Order Commission report that's been recently released. And that is a whole array of issues on justice issues, dealing with our children, dealing with women, dealing with our tribes, dealing with the disenfranchisement and the disconnect in our communities and the safety of our communities. And so the congressional process has started in responding to that report. We need to do more ourselves in internal meetings and talk about what do we need to do to change this, what are the new innovative ideas, what partnerships do we need, what new arrangements, how can we support a greater role for our tribes in local control and tribal control at our community level. But we really need to not let this opportunity pass by and say this is another report to put on the shelf. So if you have an opportunity at Klinkahaida A&B to take a look at that report, look at Chapter 2, which is just specifically on Alaska on that, and figure out how that makes sense to you and what we ought to do. At the AFN level, we're going to be looking at all kinds of strategies to move forward on that, everything from high-level meetings with the Department of Justice and trying to get the State Attorney General roped up into discussions, as well as public-private partnerships to kind of not wait for government to act if they're too slow. So I just bring that to your attention as another issue. A third issue wanted to bring your attention. On Monday, we had a leadership retreat on subsistence, and we went over a whole briefing for probably about 150 Native leaders from around the state on where everything is at on our subsistence right. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention is we do have a case called State of Alaska versus Jewell, in the Katie John case, which has been appealed by this governor and this administration to the Supreme Court. AFN is a party in that case, as well as the Native American Rights Fund is a party to that case. This is a case against the federal government. The federal government is on the side of AFN and NARF, so we're working together as a team. The deadline for us to file our response to the state's petition is February 20th, so we'll be filing our, it really was in December and got postponed a month, and this is the last postponement, so by February 20th we will be putting in our response. We're doing it jointly with NARF, which is really good that we're all on the same page, and they brought their legal team together with our Supreme Court legal team, and so we'll have our best response to that. What we will also look at, that'll be the time frame for the federal government to drop in their response to this as well. And our lawyers, in fact, today are meeting with the Department of Justice lawyers in D.C. to coordinate strategies and legal arguments on that. Our best case scenario in this whole thing is the Supreme Court decides not to take this case. We will have a decision in April. And if they decide not to take it, then we go on to our other plans for trying to improve the whole federal-state conflict that's going on and go forward with some of our initiatives at the regulatory level but also legislative level. But we don't have the sense of urgency of a Supreme Court decision coming down as a hard hammer. If they decide to take the case, they will decide in April. We will have briefings and oral arguments over the course of the year, and we'll hear a decision by January of 2015. The magnitude of this decision for the Native community side is fish is 80% of our diet in subsistence, and if fish and access to fish in our subsistence priority is not covered under the federal priority, they've effectively totally gutted our whole priority and the whole subsistence system on that by this court case. And so we don't want to overstate it. We're saying this is a major, major item. It's a disaster that the governor has done this. Governor Tony Knowles declined to do it years ago on that, but this case has still been hanging out there for about 18 or 19 years. And so, but we are throwing everything we can at it. We have the best legal teams. We have, you know, great support from the AFN board on every angle on this whole thing. So we feel very good. We'll be putting forward our best arguments on that and arguing it as close as we can. But if the Supreme Court takes it, then all of a sudden it kicks into a whole nother level of protection we need to get for our people pending whatever the Supreme Court decision does. The rule of thumb for dealing with Native American issues with the Supreme Court is don't count on them to protect your rights. National Congress of American Indians has a Supreme Court project in which they analyze and track cases that are pending in all the different courts and which ones go up to the Supreme Courts and what's the win-loss victory and whatever. And it's predominantly most of those cases that make it up to the Supreme Court, the Native side of the issue loses. And so we have to be prepared to take whatever action we need to do ourselves for ourselves should this be picked up by the Supreme Court, but also do what we can in the state and in the Congress in order to shore up those rights. We had this leadership retreat we talked about on Monday. One of the core things coming out of that, one of the options coming out, was continue to build the capacity within the Native community to manage hunting and fishing rights ourselves, to do everything to build capacity, use science, research, all the modern tools in order to do it, not just the politics and the lobbying and the angles and stuff. So I think that you'll be seeing the AFN board and our subsistence committee analyze and look at proposals and ideas that can strengthen our capacity as a people to deal with whatever we're dealing with, whatever the courts decide, whatever the government can throw at you, that we'll be stronger and more prepared to deal with those challenges. The other thing, a couple of other things that came up was the idea of exploring the constitutional amendment again. Many of you remember that 10 years of a lot of hard work from a lot of people, a lot of our folks from all over the state camping out here in Juneau trying to get the legislature to put on the ballot a constitutional amendment. We're going to take another look at that to see whether or not there is some possibility to move that. We can look for in the papers in the next few days. We just did the Compass piece for the Anchorage Daily News on the whole constitutional amendment versus the constitutional amendment on the voucher bill on that. So you can kind of look at us starting to ramp up the at least raising the thing that is an option for the state that they can do. They don't need to be filing suits and driving things to the Supreme Court. They have the ability to solve things in the state and regain unified management and work with people as opposed to just sue and drive everything into the courts. But we're also looking at federal legislation which will protect our rights, and that will take a few years. I mean, there's no way you can move forward strategic pieces of federal legislation very quickly, but we are going to be laying the groundwork and working with the committees of the Congress to make sure that we are going forward on a really solid footing and could get what protections that we need. One of the immediate items that came out of the retreat was the idea of asking the Obama administration. Many of you saw the president's State of the Union address in which he talked about if the Congress didn't act, he was going to act and put forward things by administrative action. One of the things we're going to explore with him is doing an executive order mandating co-management so that our Native tribes and our Native organizations are equal footing working with the federal government. It doesn't really fix the problem that's in the court, but it gives us a stronger standing dealing with that and keeps us moving in the direction that we want to go. So that's kind of in a thumbnail. You can look for more information that comes forward. Know that April is the key date. Everybody's watching to see what the Supreme Court will do at that time frame. We go forward during the time. If they take the case, we're going to need everybody's help, everybody from every corner of the state, both helping us raise money to have a defense, but also we're going to need people's involvement in your best thinking of things to go forward on. So that's kind of it I wanted to cover is voting rights, the justice issues, and the subsistence. And with that, I'm glad to answer any questions later on. Thank you.